MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting now with Harris Gore from Grove Point Investment. Harris, appreciate the early morning time again. Private credit market. We had our own MPC yesterday kind of going down on rates cuts. We had back in January, the market was saying that the US, the Federal Reserve, would be cutting by March. That has come and gone with no rate cuts. A higher for longer interest rate environment. Good for returns, I imagine. Does it add significant risk to the private credit market sector?
Morning, Simon, and morning to all the listeners. Thanks for having me on the show again. I haven't followed the MPC that closely, but we obviously follow the Fed quite closely on this side. I suppose our expectations when we spoke back in January were that inflation was going to be stickier. The market was probably getting ahead of itself. In our liquid private credit portfolio, we're actually taking profits through Q1 of this year. So yes, taking some risk off the table. I think rates being higher for longer, we probably expected a little bit more volatility in markets and a bit more of a sell-off. But from what we've seen in the US, the kind of corporate profit earnings and growth in, say, corporate margins, especially in the kind of core middle market in the US, has been incredibly robust. So the risk to the strategy in terms of private credit, we actually see rates for longer as being a tailwind. Mm-hmm. It's been a upsetting factor for the local banks in the US, regional banks. The cost of deposits has gone up. There are a number of banking regs that have come in that have made it harder for them to lend, have made the regulatory environment there uncertain for mid-sized banks, especially, and for the larger banks. And so generally rates being higher for a little longer is beneficial for the direct lenders who compete against those banks. But overall, what we've seen is the reason rates are staying a bit higher is that the economy is holding up very, very well.
That's a good point. I mean, rates are only staying higher because the economy is absolutely managing it. And we see that, particularly in the US. I mean, that was about 18 months ago or so where Jerome Powell said there will be some pressure on unemployment. So far, zero pressure on unemployment. You mentioned the banking regulatory environment. Of course, cost of capital is higher because of those higher interest rates. Is this seeing sort of the traditional banking lenders stepping back a little bit and creating some more space for in the private credit market?
Definitely in the US, this is a trend that's been going on for some time, which we spoke about a few months ago, that today probably the banks have less than 15% of share in middle market lending. But what's happened more recently is following the failures of Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic, in the first half of last year, the regulators have proposed new rules on risk-weighted assets. So this is really how much capital the banks have to hold against their loan books. And those rules, in some cases, are proposing up to a 16% increase, or actually on average across the industry, a 16% increase on the capital they need to hold. Banks have started to fight back. I think if anyone has been reading the press in the US, they see that some banks have actually taken out billboards to lobby the public, to kind of lobby Congress on their behalf against these capital rules. So the rules aren't baked in, but obviously that creates uncertainty for banks. Uncertainty means that credit decisions are slower. Slower credit decisions mean that corporates that are looking to grow, engage in M&A, add to their business, perhaps take advantage of dislocation by a competitor, et cetera, they increasingly turn to direct lenders instead of banks, because banks are just taking longer to make lending decisions because of uncertainty to do with regulations. So that's one part of it. You have this kind of regulatory uncertainty, capital rules that haven't been baked in yet that are still up for discussion, and banks lobbying against those rules. On the other side of the equation, you have the increase in rates, which for regional banks especially has made their deposit books more expensive, and therefore made it more expensive for them to lend. And then on I suppose a third factor, which has been very public recently, has been the buildup of CRE, commercial real estate, on especially on regional bank balance sheets.
Oh, yeah.
And and you've had this increase in interest rates. That's the part of the market that has had the most effect on, and banks really trying to work through their issues in the CRE market. So all of these factors kind of interplay and interact to make it a very, very favorable market. And what we saw in the second half of last year was some of the best yields being captured on direct lending that we've seen in since market inception 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, really strong yields coming through. And a big, I mean, part of the attraction of alternative asset classes. And I mean, private capital is an alternative asset, but sort of maybe not in the extreme as maybe a solar farm is. But it's that uncorrelation to other assets, which is so incredibly important as well for an investor.
Yeah, diversified source of returns is how we'd see it. We think that the private markets, obviously, if you go into an illiquid fund, we don't invest in the illiquid private credit funds. You have correlation due to the mark to book value instead of mark to market. Mm. We invest in the listed market, so you have mark to market. So you have, call it, volatility that's correlated to equity markets. But we quite like that because you can trade around that volatility. You can buy loan books at a discount to book value. Mm-hmm. What we were doing in Q1 of this year is really selling loan books at a premium to book value as the market kind of got ahead of itself, expecting rate cuts that didn't materialize. And by doing that, you can generate excess return on an underlying asset class where your returns are uncorrelated, call it, to the broader equity market or the broader fixed income market. And a big driver of that is the fact that the underlying companies we're lending to here are all private. And so those are companies that if you own a global equity portfolio, or S&P 500 portfolio, or even a Russell 2000 portfolio, these are not companies that you're going to be holding in your management portfolio, or wealth management portfolio.
Yeah, I take your point, and I particularly like, I mean, liquidity, I take that. It actually creates opportunity, which is so critically important, and I think often missed by investors, that liquidity is hugely important. We'll leave it there. Harris Gore, Grove Point Investments, always appreciate the early morning. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.